Yeah, if you can drop the business card at the ESRI table, maybe we have a gift for one of us. It's a web training class of your choice. So feel free to do that and visit Tim. But now I'd like to introduce Warren Roberts. He's a GIS professor at Rio Hondo College in the county, and he has a very good GIS program going on, and I would like him to explain how he does. Maybe I don't expect people to come and enroll at Rio Hondo College, but at least it's interesting to know what options academia has for our offices as a source of employment or labor. We'll see. So we'll let Warren explain.
Thanks to Mario for inviting us over. Is all okay? Okay, can you hear me? Good?
Go week.
Good. Now you can, right? Good. Well, my background is in landscape architecture, and I am a professor over in Whittier. And I've been teaching for over 10 years. 12, 15 years. I was a Catholic mourner before then. My classes are in the evenings because most of my students are those that work or they've lost their job or they're changing careers or they're exploring career options. So, during the rest of the time, during the day, I work in a library. And libraries, you know, they provide books, they provide other resources to students and faculty, such as data. And data can be quite expensive, like LiDAR data or tabular data. And so then they need some help with that, so then the library provides GIS. So I help GIS on various colleges there. At HMC, Harvey Mudd College, Pitzer, Pomona, Scripps College, Claremont Graduate University. And in fact, the same lessons that I give them at the private colleges, which were maybe a couple thousand dollars a class, I use the same lessons at the community college, which is what? About $75, $80 a class. And I was giving my students lessons yesterday, and it's the same lesson that some students are using for the thesis at the in the senior year Pomona College. So the community college is a great resource. I wish I knew that they existed when I went to school, because I went on to university and not realized that these are great resources. The funding for the colleges where I'm primarily at is vocational, and it's to help people like you and your staff learn some additional perhaps skills needed. Maybe you're restricted from leaving the county to go to other locations. Maybe you're not even local. I have students in my class from New Zealand and from Israel, and because my classes are online too. So what I wanted to do is just give you some introduction to what I teach and some of the learning outcomes. So if you go through a class and you finish at the end of the semester successfully, then what are you expected to at least have some experience in doing? And the coursework, the curriculum that I have, wasn't just developed by myself, but by folks like you. We have an industry group, advisory group, that shares with us what they would like to see with students graduating. And so we make sure we include that in our lessons, and our lessons that we use are very, very practical and really applied, because there's a lot of things that some folks, they don't want to know. They don't need to know any type of Polish projection, they just need to know what local projection they need to use. Okay. Next slide. So I have an advisory group from the county, local cities. We get funding from the state and from the federal government, and one of the requirements is that we are in touch with the local industries, and we're teaching what they would like to have from our students. And so we meet with them once a year, and we revise and update and change our curriculum. Our fees are low fees, $26 a unit. So my prime mapping class is 3 units, so that's a pretty low cost. I'm trying to make it cheaper than a cheeseburger, because I had 50 people sign up. Well, supposedly we're about to start class, then they realized that it wasn't free. Well, it was $26 a unit. And so I'm trying to make it a little lower cost, but I think they're still signing up for the screen. And our lessons are very applied, very practical, so we're not looking at Atlanta or just Redlands alone. We're looking at their city, where they live, there's a house, there's a neighbor, there's demographics in their area. So we work with real local data for them. And we are articulated with a few of the four-year schools, so students can transfer and take the class and then eliminate some of the extra courses they take at the university. Our times are very convenient because they're in the evening. My class this evening starts at 7 o'clock till 10:15. But then I kick them out about 11, it's a little late. And the lab opens up at 7:30, so people can go in the morning, they can stay late, they can go on a weekend. And we have online offerings. I'm trying to put more courses online. Online courses are for those people that are more comfortable with computers. And it's a struggle for some folks thinking, you know, I need to take some GIS, but I can't take the time away from going home after work, so I'll do it online. So you have to be able to take a course online with some experience in using some of the functions. Next, please. So some of the local students, I put the little quotes there because I don't often get to the traditional students. The students in the morning and the daytime are quite different than those in the evening. They come in to work with their uniforms on, and or they don't come in because the kids are sick or they have to stay up and work late. So I often do a lot of course training too for, let's say, the county. They come in and say, hey, Warren, we have 50 folks. We need you to put a lesson together. And so they sign up for class, perhaps an online class. And then that gives me the flexibility of saying, okay, it's online, but now let's set up 6 days or more or less to come to your location. Or you come to my location and we'll do a 6 day course or 5 day course. So I've done a lot of work with the sheriff, a lot of work with the LAPD, Department of Health, Education, Parks, Children's Services, Fire. And I tell all these folks that I can teach fire mapping, no problem. I can teach health mapping. I can teach business mapping. And I want some talk tech. And the reason why is because, as you know, it's just the same tool. The same tool I used to map frogs in Costa Rica, the same tool I used to map cough taps in LA. Cough skull in here, car recovered here. Frog scene here, next scene there. So I tell my students, it doesn't matter what your field is in, because it's a real marketable tool. It doesn't matter what field you're going to. Next, please. Next one. So we have other programs on campus. I'm a landscape architect. I did a lot of CAD work in the back in the past. We have the mic station. We have all the latest software. We have 5 labs and computers, running a couple more. We've got the latest technology, all the surveying equipment, centimeter accuracy surveying equipment that's still probably in the box. We've got the rapid prototype machines, so you can download the topography, have the imagery, print it out. You have a three-dimensional model. My students think I'm lying, so I have to take them back there to show them. We have the animation courses. Civil engineering, we started. The architecture's been going for a good 20 years. And now I'm going to start some landscape architecture courses. And I'm having faculty at the Cal Poly Pomona, because they're turning students away to say, go take a class at Community College Hall. Okay, we'll set the classes up at the college where we are. We'll have their faculty teach it at our college, and then they can transfer to that course. So the courses that we teach are very convenient as far as hours, cost convenient, and some of the programs on campus are for folks that lose work, and they get the courses paid for, and the books paid for. And they are online if you wanted to. In fact, all of my classes, every class I have is online. As where they can download the data and the software, and they can download the lessons, and they submit everything online, and then they download it correctly, the my work to them online, so where they can see the changes they need to make, and they submit them again. So it's a hybrid. So, but we're in a classroom, but we work. I don't like to pretend again. Although we got plotters if you need to. And so two online classes right now that we have. Next one, please. So most of the classes, like I said, are online. People have lost their jobs or changed their careers or graduated from the university and say, you know what, I'm trying to get a job, but they're asking me, do you know GIS? Can you go into regional planning? Well, we'll take a class, we'll pick up the speed. And we have folks that are now told, hey, you are now a GIS analyst, apart from what you do at the office. Okay, well, where do I do GIS? Where do I learn this? You don't want to go back to the university and pay a lot of funds. Well, this community college is quite convenient. The average student at the community college is 26. Probably that's in the evening. In the daytime, it's probably not 26. Next one. Marketing, like you do in your office, you need to tell people how important it is. I do the same thing. Yeah. I try to be polite, because we have a marketing program and there's no GIS. I mean, and then they're in the same department I am. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you have Wildland Fire Academy, and there's no GIS. Well, they have certain classes they have to take, and they just kind of fit it in. So I'm trying to get them to add things in it, because if you're going to apply for a position, 12 people applying for the same position, you have some GIS. I mean, it's to your advantage. The earlier on, you learn it, the better. A lot of schools leave it to the 400 level class. It should be down to the 100 or even back into the high school. So I have high school teachers in my class too. Next one. And a lot of the folks in my class, as soon as they sign up for class, they say, "What? I'm doing GIS and I need to know how to do this." And I told them I can do it. Can you show me how to do it? So I work with them so they understand how to do the 6 steps. Because maybe I have some CAD background already. I don't want to go over every single projection. If I told the LAPD about different Polish projections and African projections, it may not be a projection. So then what I like to do is just give them what are the essential projections that they use. And some conventions, they can make their map look like a skittle drawing, but they have to use certain conventions to follow. And in a classroom, they can network with other people, because sometimes my students hire other students. Next. So here's an example of some of the crime mapping courses. I've worked with a lot of crime analysis because I took a lot of training in Denver with NIJ and gone to other locations to teach this. As well as I teach other faculty, I've gone to work with a liberal arts college too. I go out to other locations to teach faculty not to be afraid of this and have it incorporated into their coursework. Next one, please. This is one of my colleagues at the college. She wants something. She's running for office, and she wants to show in this community college district where there's a change over time with populations of 65 and over and 18 and under. The dark red areas are showing where there's 3 to 6 times more population back from 1980 to 2000 with ages over 65. So she's showing, hey, community college district, you need to have different coursework in your lessons. So she's running for office. She doesn't know GI. I don't know where she's going to get this, but because I get along with her, I did it for her. Next one. Registering for students is simple. Just do it online. Everything's online. You don't need to drive on the campus. Although our campus is not very far from LA County, you can see all of LA County. See the Hollywood sign right up against Orange County, right at 605 and 60. And there are several community colleges in the area. Rio Hondo College is one college in one district. And there are other community colleges in the area. Not all of them have GIS quite yet. The registration for our program is in December. But I tell people register early, because we have 3 online classes, the old field. 2 online classes, the old field, and the on-campus field. There's a little trickulation at the end where people start to drop out because maybe they're just exploring what GIS is. The software we use is the latest. So we have a 9.3.1 that, so every time there's an upgrade, we get it installed. We can install on every machine on campus, but I give the students the software. We get, yes, right, gives us the student software. They take it and they can run the lessons at home if they wanted to. We have online courses, so I give my students an intro to online ESRI course. And the course is normally 3 to 4 units and about $100. That's this. So promoting GIS, I tell them, there's your business data, and I don't need to sell you on the importance of GIS, but I'll just give you a few examples. I say, here's your data, and then next slide. And these just happen to be crimes in Riverside. Next one, please. So I say points and graduate points, counter points within the census, trash the blocks. So then I ask them, why are some areas red and other areas light red? Next slide. So if that's a really dark area, that's a pretty scary area for crime. I'd walk the Doberman. The other one, next slide. And walk the puppy over there. So I try to give them a little, try to entertain them, because they can be really lost if they get too technical. Next slide. Then I show them, if I'm selling my house in the bottom right, I'm showing that map. So I'm trying to have them think spatially. And a lot of people just don't understand that. People are really gullible with maps. I mean, you show a map and there's many different ways to do this. And I've had students graduate, finish my class and say, wow, that was great, but I'll never do GIS again. And I said, well, you're in social science, right? Okay, well, you'll be paying me next time. So at least you understand what works and well, because you know now how to read a map, which is important. You may be an administrator, but you know how much time is involved, which is I guess how we do it. Next. So LA data, looking at demographic data. Next one. Here's some data we look at in some of the advanced courses. We look at the spatial analyst tool, looking at, in this case, Sierra Madre. This is something I printed out. I should have brought it with me. Next slide. Some of the resources we have at the community college. You can download all the business data in the U.S. and the owner's name and gender, how many employees they have. When we look at the different demographics over time, back into 1970, 1980, 1990, there's some monkeying going on in the background, but there is some data that you can obtain through libraries that my students can access. Next. So some of the projects, here's one I just worked on last week. There's a cave in England, and my buddy's a caver. I downloaded a picture of the cave. This is some hand-drawn map. I digitized it. I drew the digitized the streets like LA, just digitized the streets, beginning address, ending address, zip code on the left, zip code on the right. Then I threw in several hundred addresses of artifacts based on the name of the cave. There's several caves in here. And then it displayed where those locations are. So I try to still show my students, it doesn't matter what field you're going in. Even caving, we can show you how to use GIS in that. Next. GPS, I tell students, GPS is different than GIS. It's a GIS, I have one in my car. No, GPS is where you go out in the field. You put this on your back like a Ghostbuster and wander outside. People are doing some field work out on Santa Cruz Island looking at dead foxes. Next. Here's a project that I worked on with some other faculty in Costa Rica. The problem underneath the canopy, the GPS don't work. So what we use, a bamboo pole, tape measure, compass, and we surveyed this whole site with bamboo pole and to measure kilometer, and we had to start at some fixed location. There's a great software, Lightbulb Compass, it's for caving. So we mapped this using a caving software, because you're underneath the canopy, you may as well be under the ground. Next one. So when a student registers for class, on the other end, when you finish, these are some of the things I like that I have. At least that's what the industry tells us. So maybe you have some insight at the end. Next one. So in the classroom, the students, they see me demonstrate it. We go through it together, and then they perform it. And at some point, I'll have them do it again, but pick some other location. I give them all the materials they need. I even the directions have links that pop up a window that shows me actually performing the task. So all the directions are there, because some people just can't come to work from school because they're ill or they're just tired. So I'm very relaxed on as far as you have to be in class. If it was a general ed course, I would have to be very strict on time for them to be there. But a lot of my folks, they don't even care about the grade. Next one. So in a classroom, the students perform a lesson. They submit the PDF online. they get my revision, they get my comments back, they resubmit it, the quizzes are online, they have to do a worksheet to give some feedback on what they see, sort of their interpretation of what they've done, and then they have a final project at the end. Next one. So certainly one of the first things I do is don't write a story for your file name or your folder name. Just keep it really short. Work on file management, folder management. Make your project portable, because when you go from one machine to another, you're going to have problems. And how to access the server, how to access data, how to extract data. Those are also just lifelong skills that people need to know. Next. So, well, we work with shapefiles. I talked about the number of files associated with each layer. I talk about what layers are. I talk about onions. And let's see what else. I have a lot of different analogies. I give my students SpongeBob. So, shapefiles, file gene database, and we work with some rasters in my second course. Projections, I go with some really basic projections. Next. We obtain existing data online. They have to know where to get the data, they have to define it, they have to read the metadata. I'm starting to use what's called ArcGIS online. If you've not used it before, it's great. We need to have version 9.3.1, one extra little version up. And it's a great way to put your data up online. You can password it to where someone else can access it. Just drops right down into your notebooks. Very good. Next one. Creating new data. I say, okay, I've given you the data, now go make your own data. One of the lessons I give them is to digitize the parcels where they live. I tell them to go out at nighttime, dress in black, take a flash off the camera, and go and evaluate your neighbors, take pictures of your neighbors, and they digitize the parcels, they add the attributes, they add the imagery. If they ask someone else what they're doing, tell them that you're with Western Gardens and you're submitting the garden for a competition or something, or wear an orange shirt. So they do generate their own data. And then I say, let's go outside now with GPS. So last night, Tuesday, I took them out when it was raining. I told them the week before, I'm going to go out even if it's raining. And I didn't mean to say that it was going to rain, but it did rain. And I went to school in Oregon, so, and then I'm from England, and if I never went outside when it rained, I never go outside. So I went outside with GPS. We have all of the latest units, and we have some that go back 10 years. But the Pro XR GPS are really nice. You don't have any windows on it, which is good, probably. Next. So metadata, they need to know where the data came from. Especially for those students who do research, you need to be able to cite the sources, give some credit, and point to other people if they want to complain to someone else, add their name. Next. Classification. Some of the folks, perhaps that are in environmental science, mapping frogs, maybe they're not interested in looking at classification, but they could be. They could do what's called a spatial joining, count up how many frogs there are in each watershed, and then classify the watershed based on the number of frogs. We see what the quality is of each watershed. So I try to make my projects to where they can see the application in their field. Doesn't matter where they're going. Say you're looking at crimes in Riverside, but you can be looking at frogs in Costa Rica. It doesn't matter what you're doing. So here we're doing quantitative data, looking at amounts of things. So I try to give them, try to get too technical with some of the terms. Qualitative, where I tell them, you know, going to look at land use, you need to use some conventions of soils and things like that. Next. So an example here is, okay, here's LA County. Here's the census tracts. Make a map showing the demographics of Hispanic percentage of the population of each tract. Okay, they think this is easy. Then I say, okay, go pick some other county in the United States. Pick any county in the United States, anywhere there's more than just corn. And then you go pick some place, and they go through the lesson, downloading the geography, downloading the census. You need to know where the census comes from, who to join. So there's a lot of things that they go through. And this way, they get to pick somewhere else, which is kind of nice. Next one. You have to know Excel. I say, I tell my students, if you have to pick a class because you're financial aid, you need to have some more classes, add Access or Excel. You need to know what, you need to know how to work with tables. For joining and geocoding, next. Geocoding, I show the first, the long way, which is Granada's locator, geocode. And tell them that I want to have 100%. It's 6,000 locations, I want 100% success. And then after a while, I let them play along for a while to try to really make it 100%. Then I say, okay, that's okay. the people who are going to look at your maps later, they don't know if it's 100% or not, so we can say it's good. But then I showed how to do let long, right? That's the easy way. But LAPD doesn't like it if you put addresses up online and then someone else is reading them and you get a let long back. But there are always around that. Next. So certainly selection methods. And I give them 20 questions. Here's an address. What school district is it in? Is it inside a floodplain? Where's the nearest school? So I have given a lot of spatial questions. Then we go to some of the SQL. You know, here's 6,000 crimes. Show me the crimes that are on a weekday between 3 and 5 that are burglary. Then I ask them, what are we looking for? If I'm asking between Monday and Friday, between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, and the burglaries. Does anyone know what I'd be looking for if I'm asking that with my crime data?
Students,
yeah. And so they say, well, I can do that in Excel. Then I say, okay, well, tell me those that are within 1,000 feet of school. You can't take a tape measure to an Excel table. So again, I'm trying to give them why GIS is important, because I tell them, you can do a lot of this in Excel, but once you have that spatial question, you can't next. Please. Cartography, we have a cartography class, conventions, layouts, templates, map books, certain export options. So there's a lot of things that we try to cover. Just even the intro class. Next. So just for the last few slides, number of slides here, I have more of the intermediate class. And I'm not sure how much of this you would be involved in. How much time do I have left? Okay. So if you're not familiar with spatial analysts, it's another extension for the ArcGIS. And it's working with RASTRS. So these are some of the lessons that I developed for students at the private college, which is quite expensive. So I teach the students there, and I bring the lessons back, and I give it to my students at the community college. Right, next, please. So here an example is the location of where is the Bighorn Sheep location? Well, I looked hard for San Gabriel Mountains. I didn't find any, so I made my own up. Let's go next. So I said, here's Ice House Canyon up in the San Bernardino, LA border here, up to Mount Boldy. Next. And I said, here's a LIDAR, and I talk about what LIDAR is, and people they have to understand what raster is and continuous data. And go through some of the basic tools in the spatial analysis. Next. We talk about how you can do some queries where I can select sit and elevations, or I can classify them into sit and elevation types that are preferable for maybe Bighorn. Next. Slope, really easy to make a slope, right? Next. Add some shading. Next. Aspect. I don't know why ESRI always has the north-facing slopes red and the south-facing slopes blue. But anyway, I flipped it. So north, south is red. North is blue. Next, add the hill shade, so it gives you the illusion of 3D. Next, then I download some imagery off of Google, and I talk about georeferencing. Right, you've probably done that. You bring old images in, you scan them, georeference them. And part of this exercise is, I like to make a classification map of this. And does anyone know a tool I've used to make this into a layer of classes for vegetation types? Do you know what that would be? Remote sensing, right? I helped the state put together what's called a career pathway. It's a template to help high school students articulate me to go into college. And we put this template together with the SRI that says what courses students need to know. And remote sensing is one of those that we've added. And I'm not a remote sensing person, but I can get by enough to say, I like this to be a layer containing vegetation types. Next. So I want to look at maybe erosion. So I want to take the image and then show what it looks like today as far as the different classes. Next. So in the back there, I identified these signatures. That's forest, that's chaparral, that's gravel. I've started using some of the other tools too, Envy, which is came out of last month. It's a brand new tool that is potentially made primarily for the GIS users, and it is friendly. Next. So this is the classification of that image. All I did is go to google.com/maps, grabbed the image, georeferenced it, and then classified it. next. Added a topography, a hill shape next. And then I can select, okay, how much is chaparral, how much is gravel, how much is low canopy pine. That's just a few clicks, measure or table show you how much is what type of surface type. So if you're looking at your city, you want to look at how much is asphalt, how much is building, how much is tree. You can do a classification next. Then I show where the bighorn sheep are. Then I say, okay, if I know where those bighorn sheep are now, what slope, what aspect, what elevation, what land use, I can then determine where else we need to prioritize for conservation areas. Okay, next. So I can look at all these other things, because now I have those bighorn sheep. I say, hey, bighorn sheep, look down below and tell me what vegetation you're in. And let's go next. So then I can then use some of the other more advanced tools called weighted modeling. I can see where else do they exist. And again, this is a community college class. And but students pick it up. We have 16 weeks in each of the semester, and they're getting familiar with this. I cannot program and I can't even type, but I can program with pictures. I mean, this originally was intended, I think, for landscape architects, making this flow diagram. Jack Dayton wanted to pull more landscape architects into using the GIS. People caught on and say, this is great. So landscape architects still not there, but people are using this now, and it's a really great tool. Next. So there are a lot of great tools, and students at the Pomona College, I see them trying to do this. They draw a graph and they count at the points, and they determine what is it, are they dispersed, are they clustered. The tools are in here. You just do draw a grid, spatial join. And you can, although you need to know how to do it by hand. Like in my class, in our program, we still have drafting boards. Students still need to know how to use a pencil, because getting from the head down on paper is quicker than a mouse. We do put a computer there, too, at the table, for example. Next. So currently what I'm exploring is more courses. I'm working with the Department of Health, having together a public health course. And I'd like to get one for fire, so I have a colleague making one for fire. Also for marketing. I'm looking at trying to get GIS as a GE. Everyone should know GIS. It should be a GE class. I don't know why it isn't, but I'd like to see if that could happen. A degree, I'd like to get that at other places too, we don't yet. We are articulating with some universities, and I'm also trying to get it to where we have citrus, where part of the problem with people doing courses online at home, they don't have the software to, they don't have the computer installed, they have a Mac, and halfway through the semester say, hey, how do I install this on a Mac? Well, you can, but it'd be best if you just log on to the computer and then use GIS on our server. So that's one of the things I'd like to get working soon. Next. So any more information, you could email me. There it is. dobyroberts@rehonda.edu or gisteacher@gmail.com. We do put custom courses together, too. So if you're up in Fresno and you have a dozen people, we can actually have you sign up for the online class, and we can come out to your location and give you some courses. We can custom your lessons, too. So we are very flexible because we provide funds to help people acquire these skill sets for whatever field that they're in. And if you need any interns, I got some great interns. I got students that graduated with regional planning. I got people with programming backgrounds. I got people in a variety of different backgrounds, big CAD users. And it'd be great if you need someone. If you want them to do some prison work, anything, I can give you some good references. But contact me first before you select someone. Right? Any questions? Yeah.
What information did you download from Google when you were using the Andes software?
What? Sorry. What image?
What kind of imagery? Was it satellite or just?
Probably aircraft.
And how did you categorize the land cover?
I downloaded the image as a georeferencing, and then I used the ESRI, Spatial Analyst, Maximum Likelihood Classification Tools.
Wow.
It's very cool. I was at the ESRI conference in the summer, and they said, oh, by the way, you can do this. I said, wait a minute, you can do that? So I've been using the ESRI tools, but the NB is new.
Right.
And it runs, I mean, I've been playing with that, it runs great. So, Yeah, if there's something I tell my students, you may not be using remote sensing, but you need to know that it can be done. And you don't need to be, you don't need to be a remote sensing field. You can be a GI user using this. It's very friendly. Yeah?
What other classes do you do online besides the intro?
We're just right now we have the crime mapping and the intro, that's it. Until we start adding more courses, I eventually see a lot more courses online because there are people who just can't come to campus. They're not even local, they're open in Northern California, in other states. If you're outside the state, then it's a little extra cost for you to come into the, to take a class in the community college. It's still less than any university. No more questions? I told my students, if you don't ask them questions, the next exam is going to be in Swedish. And you know what? I am going to put in Swedish. The next quiz questions are going to be Swedish. Do you know how to be able to pick answer the question if it's in Swedish? You know, Google / translate, copy paste. Do you know the question is, answer the question.
Thank you very much, Warren.